Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful you can join us for another week.
You sure are.
And today we have a special guest, Chris Searock, and he's an author, speaker, and meditator. He's passionate about turning sophisticated topics into accessible, meaningful, inspiring experiences. With an extensive background in experience design, psychology, and tech, the simple breakdown of traditional teachings makes ancient wisdom relatable to modern audiences. His BU Mindfulness program helps you gain transformative insights by following a simple step-by-step approach to reacting less and thriving more. In private, Chris enjoys nature, playing tennis, and writing music. He resides in Bali, Indonesia. Find him online. Oh, and we'll put all of that in the show notes. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim and Barb. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're pleased. We really are.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about you and your journey and some of the ways that you do your programming?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was, enamored by the external, just like every one of us that suddenly finds themselves in this body and in this three-dimensional space and all the shapes and sizes and colors that are around us. And so I think, we are to be forgiven to really become infatuated by the stuff, the things. So I think naturally we all kind of start out focusing on the external, as we should. That's what makes this particular existence so unique. And then slowly, but surely, we all realize that the things we achieve on the outside are just temporary. So there's joy and there's happiness in reaching goals, but it's fleeting. And I think this fleetingness, we start to become, more aware that there must be more to life than always chasing outcomes. So there came a point where it just kind of, there was a tipping point, and I realized that there was this whole inner world that needed to be explored. And so when that happened, everything shifts, because your whole sense of reality and perception and the truth structure that we've created, all of that, crumbles. And it's a tough time, but then you awaken to a much, much bigger sense of existence of yourself and context of the greater current.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can live more authentically, because it's more about your person than all the things around you.
Yes, exactly. And you realize you have a blueprint. Everyone has their own unique purpose. And that's really where the true passion and creativity emerge from, and being connected to not just ideas that you try to come up with, but ideas that come through you that you're just meant to execute. And I talk about how, like, what's the difference between a calling and just kind of an idea that you came up with? And there seems to be like the word implies, calling means you're not quite there yet. You're being called to something, which means there's some work to do to get there still. And maybe some discomfort as well, because you're not quite ready. And so your true calling is always accompanied with by a little bit of discomfort or challenges. And then ultimately, it's those challenges, by overcoming them, we become experts at those things. So it's funny how life is designed. The things that annoy us and irritate us and challenge us the most are actually the things that point us to our deeper selves, our inner truth, and who we're really meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what do you think is one of a good way, if you have a calling and you're getting that, how do you kind of go after that so you can work through that discomfort and get to where you need to be?
Yeah. Well, the calling is usually like an inner knowing, and it's not attached to the how. It's more of a, what are you meant to be applying yourself to? And then the bigger picture unfolds from there. And then you kind of see a direction that your life is taking, and you see like an end picture. But how you get there that's becomes a challenge, is not to be too controlling or too attached to, we're conditioned to create plans and steps, we need to take and execute to reach a certain goal. And that then, you know, life always happens differently and at its own accord. And to be able to just relax and let go and not push so hard. I mean, to this day, I find myself, you know, I catch myself pushing too hard. And then I go, Chris, you just got it. You know, step back and let it unfold more organically. And then when I do that, then things happen with ease again and serendipitously. And so, yeah, it's staying in this state of flow and acceptance and surrender, but also doing, of course. You're not just sitting around. But it's not doing from self, but more executing what is coming through you. And, you know, that's the most... Because you're present with what you're doing when you operate that way. You could be doing the most amazing things. And this was one of my big revelations is I, on paper, I had a great life. And when I realized that it's not the, if I'm not present with the activity, then I could be doing the most amazing things in the world. It just wouldn't fulfill me. So that whole picture flipped on its head then when I realized that I could be doing anything, I mean, the most mundane activities, but if you're really engaged with it and present with it, then, you know, folding your clothes could be the most miraculous thing in the world.
That's so true. Relaxing for a minute, you mean? Just letting it happen.
Well, and I think in today's world, we multitask so much and we think that that's the answer, right? Because we're trying to rush through things. And so I like what you're saying is just being present in that one thing that you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. You know, our mind tends to race to the next unknown moment and try to fill it with something that we know, that some plan that we imagine, even if it turns out completely different. The mind is a tool designed to know things. So if we're so living through that mental lens, then we're at the mercy of just kind of like rushing to the next moment and to the next. And so we're always missing out on right now. We can't even take a shower and enjoy the feeling of water and steam and soap and our senses, right? Our senses is what keeps us attached, glued to the present moment. Instead, when we're in our minds, we just rush, and our whole life can go by that way. So we can create these amazing experiences, but if we're always living for the outcome, then we're just missing out on the journey, and the journey is everything, as we know.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. You had something to say, Mom?
Yeah. I find too, as I mature in life sort of thing, that I have slowed down considerably and I like the journey I'm on. And yeah. I try to remind myself on a daily basis, like, slow down. Does it really matter? It doesn't really matter. And sometimes just saying that to myself, I sit back and really get into the moment and enjoy it. Because why not? But yeah. I didn't do as much of that when I was a little younger than I should have. But now I try to grab it and run with it whenever I can. So, yes, it's a beautiful thing to do. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's great to have these little reminders, like you say, slow down or take a breath, right? One conscious breath can reset us. And there's so many little tricks. And it's the simplicity, the little moments that really bring us back to right now. And to have some kind of mantra, some kind of reminder that, like you just said, slow down, stop and smell the roses. And we've heard all these things, but there's so much truth there. There's all these popular terms that we often use, but we don't realize that they're chock full of wisdom and we just kind of gloss over it. But it really is that, just to stop and smell the roses.
It is. Do you have a mantra or something that you do yourself to calm you down and bring you back to calm?
Yeah. So the first thing I do every morning is I don't drink coffee, but I pour myself a glass of water. And so I look at from the dispenser or the mug, or the pitcher, whatever I'm using. And I look at the water and the swirls, the color of it, the sounds it makes, the feeling of the glass in my hand and the little bubbles and just that act already, it makes me aware of the state of my mind of the day, which is kind of another bigger topic. Is we find peace not by wanting our mind to be calm, but by accepting that it's not. And that this is kind of this inverse law of how nature works. So the acceptance of what is, that is what calms us down. So if what is chaotic and noisy, accepting that is actually what takes us out of it. And so that's my first kind of exercise of the day, is to just notice, you know, what state my mind is today. And even after years and years and years of meditating, it's still, I wake up on some days and it's noisy. and that's just what it is. And accepting what is what calms me down and grounds me again.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And you just follow that through your day, just being calm like that.
Yeah, you can do that with, you know, everything. There's life is essentially one opportunity after another that is calling us to be engaged and present with it. And the best way to do that is through the senses, tasting, touching, smelling, you know, feeling, seeing, hearing things. You can't hear something, you know, a sound from the future. You can't see something that isn't there. You can't taste something that's not in your mouth. So our senses are the glue to right now. And if we just acutely practice seeing with intention, and hearing, you know, acutely, and tasting, touching, smelling, all of these senses, they you can even feel how it drowns out the noise of the mind and pulls us into right now and into the state of engagement and the zone ultimately. There's some activities that, you know, sports, where we've heard that term, and it's because you're focusing on that ball and nothing else. And that's really how we can achieve that state of presence in everything, in, you know, doing the laundry or the dishes, or taking, you know, going for a walk with the dog, or just looking out at the world and the trees and the sky and the clouds and it's crazy out there. Once you start to just zoom in on the fact that everything is the way it is, that it exists, and the miracle of it all, it's mind-boggling. Sometimes I think we have to be a little bit unconscious, because if we were so truly fully present, connected all the time into pure source consciousness awareness, then we just explode out of excitement, just because of everything that is around us that is unexplainable by the mind. It can't grasp our own existence.
Do you think we miss out on experiences in life because we're rushing so fast for the most part, that if we actually took that time to be really present in most things that we were doing, we'd find new experiences that we don't even know exist in them?
Of course. And that's a great point, because most of the way we experience things when we're acting through this mental lens is through judgment. So we're labeling, we're defining, we're putting meaning and labels, that, again, the mind is a tool designed to know things. So it's going to just assign definition. But that is by default, by definition, it's a reduction of what it could be in the multiple perspectives on a situation. And we reduce ourselves to kind of one small perspective on something by labeling it. Even just calling a tree, we're taking ourselves out of the experience, the presence of the tree, and thus a reflection of ourselves in the presence of the tree. And rather we kind of give it this label, and it becomes this mental thing, a snapshot that we have in our head. And then we lose the definition of literally the resolution of the tree, how that tree is unique from the next, and its aliveness, and how the branches all twist and turn in their own unique ways, and no two trees are alike. And so we lose the aliveness and connection to that when we label things. And judgment isn't just saying, you know, negative things about something. It's judging something to be something. And that takes us, it robs us of that fresh, the aliveness of the present moment. And then we lose, we lose just our connection to life, and slowly we become faded and jaded. And then we burn out, and then we reach this point where we've lost the passion for living, and then we have to find a way to rekindle it. So yeah, so many more opportunities are to see things from different angles are there when we actually stay connected to the experience of something, as opposed to the mental labeling of it. And that then can, open up to new opportunities that you wouldn't have seen. The creativity flows through you because you're just, it's like a playground with tons of toys in it, as opposed to just like one. You've got one shovel and a little heap of sand. that was your situation before. And now you're in this endless vast canvas of a million, your own beach with just endless toys.
That's great. That's a great way of saying it. I find as I'm maturing too that sometimes when I'm in a conversation, whenever I forget something that I was meant to translate at that moment. But then I find later, if I just sit down and calm, really calm, it's like, oh, for God's sake, that was so simple, and it comes back to me. But at the same time, when I sit back, at one time I used to worry that if I didn't get the message then, that there was maybe because of my age, I was starting to not remember as much. But then I realized that what I do is, you say the toys of your mind, my mind just travels. And if I let it go, I can find myself endless going places and really enjoying myself. And I finally do come back to where I'm supposed to be in the real world, but let everybody know that I haven't lost my mind. But I can really get tied up in just letting myself go sometimes.
I love that. That's being able to let go and not, again, judge oneself or it should be a different way, or I should not forget or let go. And you'll come back to it if it's important. It's the spark of, there's a spark, and follow that. Follow your bliss. So that's awesome.
That is.
It's especially cool that you get to do this together, and I run retreats, and occasionally we get like a parent-child combo, but it's rare, and to be able to do this journey of self-realization and exploration together with family members across generations, that's really awesome. That's very special.
Yeah, we like it a lot. Yeah, thank you, because we really do like it, and it was right from the get-go was like, okay, why don't we do this? And then it's like, do you want to do this with me? And she said yes, and I just said, okay, now I don't know where we're gonna go, because I don't know anything about podcasting, which I think is how most podcast people start out. And then just kind of grew from there, because we always had that interest in spirituality and expanding our minds and living more authentically and those kind of things. So then you just start reaching out to wonderful people like yourself that, and yeah, it's so nice to share this experience with her.
Yeah.
I feel blessed.
We're grateful. We really are. And, like Kimmy said, we do share so many things that we alike, and yet we're so different in some other ways too, which is great, because when we're doing these podcasts, we can definitely, balance everything out one way or another between the two of us. So it's great. Beautiful. Thank you, though. Yeah. The compliment.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. And I say that because most people struggle with, they have a break in their matrix, and they start to wake up to their true self and kind of the world in a experiencing things in a broader spectrum and not so limited. And what happens is nobody understands them. They can't tell their friends or family. They think, they're crazy. And so a lot of it, and that was for me the case as well, is like you feel so alone. You don't know what's happening. And many, they just unfortunately then numb out and go back to work the next day and just kind of try to shove it all down. Of course, it'll surface again, but it's not healthy to to avoid your expansion. And so to be able to speak and share and have a support network around yourselves, especially within, you know, trusted family structures, that's super valuable, and it's a beautiful thing. So somewhere your souls agree to come back together and create this experience for yourselves and others. So that's awesome.
Thank you. We want to share what we know, and we want to learn from individuals such as yourself what we don't know. There it is, cloud in that mind. But at the same time, you know, it's exciting to know that there's so many different ways of finding your spirituality and enjoying the bliss of every moment of this world. You know, it's just beautiful, and we share a lot. We share that, you know, beautiful.
Yeah, and it is such a precious existence, and when you start to, you know, truly live by your conscience, then you can no longer go against it, and make most use of it every moment, and just so be fully aware and vigilant that the quality of your thoughts matters, what you give your attention to becomes your reality, and all these things, and that really uplifts your own vibration and that of your environment and those around you. And you, as you heal yourself, you become a healer for the world. So it's the work is personal, but ultimately it's for the collective, for the oneness of us all. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
It's just so nice to learn these things, to how to expand your mind, because like you start doing things and you know that are right is not the right correct word, but just going through life and doing these experiences, and then the pattern comes back. So you know that you actually, there's something else. There's another obstacle that you got to jump over that you're like, oh, I didn't get it this time, but maybe this next time, you know, I'll just be open and, you know, do these things. And I know for myself, like I've brought in a lot of affirmations and meditation for myself in the morning. And I love it because it sets my day up in a totally different way than if I rush and don't have that.
Mm. Yeah. And what you mentioned there about pattern recognition is really important. We tend to criticize ourselves and get down on ourselves for, you know, finding ourselves in the same or similar situation again. But that's exactly what you're saying, is it's going to come back in one form or another over and over and over until we navigate it differently. And fundamentally, that's navigating it with more awareness, more consciousness. That will bring change and healing into that situation, not by avoiding it. It's all laid out for us to really, you know, heal, and life wants us to grow and expand. It doesn't want us to be small and limited and scary and lonely. That it's constantly challenging us to become full and whole and step into our power. So recognizing that, and the lessons that come along every time we feel triggered, it's not about who the person that triggers us, but it's about what is that pointing to within ourselves. And that's another opportunity to reflect and go within and really see what's there and kind of clear it all out. And there's different ways to do that in terms of, Kim, you mentioned techniques of really clearing out the, I call them stuck feelings that accumulate over time from our reaction to things, our judgment of things, meditation. There's many different forms, and breath work, and just having a mindfulness practice that's ultimately returning us to what I call our natural state, is to experience things. I sometimes say experiencing, so that you have that awareness, and in everything that you do, there's you have 30-50% of your awareness is with your sensations, is how are you feeling, how is this aliveness, this life force that's flowing through us, how is that expressing itself in within the framework of our body, and that's really the only thing that's real. But it's really so simple. So waiting for the elevator, there's an opportunity. When somebody's late for a meeting, there's an opportunity. Just doing menial things, you know, the walk down to the corner coffee shop could be an incredible, walking meditation or an awareness meditation, sensory meditation. And the word meditation really only describes our natural state of being engaged and present with life and responding to the circumstances as opposed to reacting to pictures in our head. So ultimately, it's not a separate activity. You know, so many people I talk to, they say, I don't have time for another thing to sit in the morning and meditate. Well, it's a state of being that we bring to life and in our daily situation. So it doesn't have to be the separate activity.
I like that, how you said that, because it's so true that you just need to be present and slow the mind and just be conscious about everything that's around you, and that is meditation.
Yeah,
I love that.
You know, it reminds me the sense of time. It only feels so rushed because the mind just jumps and jumps and jumps. It's so easy to jump to the next, you know, the monkey mind, to the next branch. But when we're fully engaged with our actual situation, then it that's natural time. It's the accelerated rush monkey mind time that creates that sense of there's never enough time, we're not going to get it all done. And that's because it's just so easy at the level of the mind, just to jump around. But when we're really stopping to smell the roses, then that slows things down naturally. And if you do it enough, then, with a mindfulness practice, then that becomes your normal sense of time again. And in fact, time tends to fade into the background then entirely, because you're engaged with the activity and not with the outcome. So that naturally then removes this pressure of time and the stress of trying to get it all done.
True. Do you have groups that you teach and things like that about finding this, like helping people find their way?
Yeah. So I do individual mentoring sessions and then groups as well, online and in person, and retreats, 8-day retreats. The next one's coming up. Then those are particularly powerful because you're in a community of like-minded. So that amplifies the experience. It's just creating a safe and nurturing environment for people to explore themselves, and it's all about them. It's exciting. Every session is different, even with longtime clients. There's such an amazing world within us. and then the outside world becomes a reflection of that. So the more we expand ourselves, the more we experience an expanded universe.
Is that ever true? That is so true. And it's such a big universe we have out there to explore. And if we allow ourselves to travel out there in our minds to, the possibilities, wow, it's mind-blowing if we listen. There's the other thing, listening, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, listening is probably, even before I got into this new chapter of my life, I was a corporate consultant in user experience design, as you mentioned early on, which a lot of those principles of listening and observation and play and curiosity and beginner's mind, those were part of that already. I didn't recognize them as mindfulness principles at the time, but I was already kind of going in that space, just more in a corporate setting. But listening is so powerful. And there's something I used to, an exercise I did with my students. I taught at UCLA for over 10 years as well. And the ability, the quality of listening is a muscle. It's a skill that can be nurtured as well. And when you're able to listen without judgment, that comes through to the speaker, and they're able to hear themselves reflected more accurately without you filtering what they're saying through your own belief system and then sending that back. So learning to listen without judging is super powerful for yourself, but also because you're holding space for the speaker and they get to truly experience themselves unfiltered. And that's being a real good friend and confidant and companion, is to be able to listen without judgment.
That's so true. So many people do not listen. And
yeah, you can feel when they're looking to jump in, or that there's something that they're like judging you about what you're saying, and you can just feel it. And and if you can come out of that for yourself, because it's no fun to judge, it's hard work to judge. Yeah, like when you kind of start to recognize that you're you know, it's shocking at first how we can't stop the mind from taking control over each situation. So it takes a little practice. We've been living in this conditioned reactivity of the judging mind for decades. So it takes a little practice to come out of it, but there is no other way to live.
That's true. I find that, like, sometimes I try to make myself aware, especially if I think I'm getting caught up in judging either myself or other people around me. And it's like, okay, so notice every time that that judgment comes into your mind. It's crazy how often it does if you just let it have free reign over you.
yeah. It's the mind is so used to controlling and dominating us. And then as you establish a meditation practice, that's the initial challenge. Is it won't, you know, it won't go without kicking and screaming. It won't give the, you know, the power back to you. You know, that's a shocking experience at first, is to recognize that you can't even keep your attention on something as basic as your breath for more than a few seconds without the mind starting to wander again and pulling your attention away. So, but then the acuteness and the importance also arises that you can't keep on living with this noise, because it's scary to think that we've gotten as far by using this mind that is always jumping around, and we make life important decisions, yet we can't even focus on something like our breath for more than a few seconds. So our whole life shifts the quality of our decision making, and you know, how we spend our time, and the people with, you know, equal or elevating the vibrations that we associate ourselves with, you know, everything changes. So it's a process to go through that, but you know, sooner or later it'll get to everyone.
Yes.
I hope so. I hope it finally gets out there. I find with conversations with people, you know, we were talking about this, Kim and I, just a few days ago. We start to talk to somebody and you realize that the person you're speaking to don't want to hear you. And so you give them a couple of chances because you have something you feel that might be of interest, but they still do not want to hear you. And it plays with your emotions, you know, and also how you feel. So, I mean, I know with me, when I'm in that situation, all of a sudden I start feeling like I'm really uneasy and I just need to run away and, you know, get my mind in check, because I realize that it's, I guess it's kind of in a way of control, but realizing that they just don't want to listen to what you're saying, and they don't care how your emotions are and how you're feeling about what you're doing. We talked about this, Kim and I, and saying, you know, you give them a little bit of a chance and you go, whoop, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. You know, when you first wake up to this new life, this new experience, that there's a tendency to want to share that with everyone. And then you realize very quickly that, you know, if they're ready, they're ready. But if they're not, you can't force anyone to. So to learn to be okay with that is probably the best way we can influence others, is just to allow them to be exactly who they are. That will accelerate them through their own evolution. And that's, you know, also that's the source of most of our suffering or tension with other people, is to want them to be ready sooner than they're naturally, you know, outlined to be. So again, it's just the same thing, is allowing everything to be as it is what creates the most fertile environment for things to accelerate and grow and expand on their own. Because that's our tendency, right? All of our cells want to grow, and we're just getting in the way of it with our judgments and our thoughts.
Yeah, if we could just get out of our own way, life would be so good.
Yeah, it really is that way. I mean, it's getting out of the way. It's surrendering. It's letting go of the way we think something should happen. and the way a situation should be unfolding. And that's how we get in the way. We're just like controlling and steering, and we're not aware of it. You know, we're just kind of conditioned to resist, even though rationally we can all think about and agree, I think, that by wanting something that's already happened to be different, it's not going to change. It's already happened. So even purely rationally, if you just thought about it, it's clear that resistance to a situation being different than we think it should be isn't going to solve anything. It's not going to change. It's already happened. So, but despite that, you know, mind is a control freak. We keep, as long as we're in our heads and we don't learn to kind of ground ourselves in our bodies, then we're going to keep just controlling and steering and with the same outcome and the same kind of hard road to travel with this constant, you know, these cobblestones of judgment, as opposed to kind of a smooth sailing experience of allowing things to be as they are and then taking action. I call it clear action. You see them as they are clearly without filtering through your own truth structure and belief system. So then you see things from multiple perspectives as opposed to just from like that myopic singular one. And then you better decisions naturally flow from that, and you can take action in ways that's more efficient, more productive. This applies to everything, you know, to work life as well, in meeting deadlines and being more creative and coming up with novel solutions. And so it's an overarching, it's a new operating system for life.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. My other thing that I'm trying as well is to make space is so instead of filling the space when there's time, you know, and for me, I love to read, but even that sometimes it's like, how about we just don't do anything? How about we don't go on the social media? We don't go on the computer. We just are in that space and just be present in that space without filling it with some activity.
Yeah, no, that's a big one right there, because the distractions from being alone with ourselves and this fear of loneliness that we're conditioned to avoid, you know, ourselves, essentially. If you look at the media, fun and happy times are, it's rare that you see somebody, you know, and reading a book or being content by themselves. It's always happiness is pictured as a group, people laughing and socializing, and so we don't get an opportunity ever in the institutions of life to really learn to be with ourselves. And so that builds up, and we're constantly avoiding and avoiding. And that, you know, the truth of ourselves gets shoved down continuously until one day we have to confront it, because we'll be depressed or unhappy and unfulfilled and miserable, even though it looks like we have, you know, plenty of things to be grateful for. It just catches up with us, this avoidance of self. And like you say, to recognize the unease of being with yourself and just in space and time and sitting there and being with your thoughts and feelings, and making an effort to do that is so important in your journey. And learning, you know, to if you can't be okay with yourself, then you're up against a challenge, and because you bring yourself into every situation. You can change jobs or move to another city or get out of a relationship and into a new one, and you're just bringing yourself and your unknowingness of yourself with you, and then you're going to repeat patterns. So becoming more aware, self-aware, more conscious of you, who you are and your truth, beyond just kind of the external, the masks, the facade, is so key to then really tapping into yourself as an expression of life, as opposed to this kind of lonely little creature that's up against the big scary world. So
that's exactly it. Well, I could talk to you forever because you have so much information and you have such a good energy about you. I just feel so calm talking with you. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website, Cirak.com, that's C-I-R-A-K, chrissiroc.com and everywhere on social media at Chris Siroc.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'll share all of those in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining us and sharing space with us. It was amazing. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you, Kim and Barb. It was such a pleasure. Both of you.
Thank you. Yes, it is. Thank you so much. You have a beautiful smile, by the way. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it. And you're welcome back anytime that you'd like to come back on. So
yeah, we would love that for sure. Thank you.
All right. And everybody else, we will see you next week.
You bet you will.
Thank you, listeners. We're so grateful for your continued support and for tuning into another fantastic episode of the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We want to take a moment to express our gratitude to all of you who've been supporting us. Your enthusiasm, feedback, and engagement mean the world to us and keep us motivated to bring you more valuable content.
We'd also like to extend a special thanks to all our wonderful guests who share their insight and experiences with us. Without you and your stories, our podcast wouldn't be the same.
If you've enjoyed today's episode or any of our previous content, we'd like to ask you for a small favor. It means so much to us if you could take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and continue to produce high quality content.
And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button on all our social media platforms too. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and we love connecting with our listeners there.
Speaking of social media, if you want to stay updated with the latest news, behind-the-scenes content, and even get a chance to participate in pools or questions and answer sessions, be sure to follow us. You can find us by searching Daughters of the Moon podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you're interested in booking a reading or Reiki session, please check out our website at daughtersmoonpodca.wixsite.com/mysite.
Nice. And if you have any ideas, suggestions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We're always excited to hear from you, and your input helps us create content that resonates with our amazing audience.
We can't wait to be back with more exciting content in the future. Until then, stay curious and don't forget to connect with us on social media.
Thank you again for being such an amazing part of our podcast family. Have a magical week, and we will catch you in the next episode.